11, familiar passage, 2 Samuel chapter 11. I'm going to read a few verses here. 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 1, the scripture says this, "And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful and to look upon. David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, 'Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him and lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness. And she returned unto her house, and the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, 'I am with child.'" Brother Sam, would you pray for the message, please?
Yeah, Father God, thank you for another opportunity to come to your house, Lord. Thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord. That blood still saves, Lord. I thank you for saving my soul, Lord God. I thank you for this church, Lord. I thank you for our pastor, Lord God. I thank you for Brother Tony. God, I pray that you'd quiet his mind, Lord God. Give him the words to say, fill him with the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord, and use him, Lord.
Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. Well, it's a familiar passage. I've actually preached on this text before here at Temple, and I preached this message elsewhere, but you know, a lot of folks have preached this message in 2 Samuel chapter 11. It's a very familiar passage. We all know the story of David and Bathsheba. It's well documented, but I want to look at some things here, and this is, I'm going to title the message, How to Stay Faithful in the Last Days. How to Stay Faithful in the Last Days. And you look David here, and it's kind of a, like I said, it's a familiar passage, and you look at the sin that David got into, and we're going to look at some of the root matters of why David got into the sin that he got into. You know, I find it interesting, the timing of this passage, if you look where it's laid out, if you look at just two chapters prior to that, in chapter 9, it's where David blesses Mephibosheth. Now, just two chapters later, he's going to be over here taking Uriah the Hittite's wife. And you ought to ask yourself, what took place? What happened? Look at 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 1. I want to look at a few things here before we get into the message, kind of set it up. But look at it says in 9:1. It says, "And David said, 'Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?'" All right, so he wants to bless Mephibosheth, and he does bless Mephibosheth, and it's one of the greatest passages of grace in the Old Testament. It's a great type picture of us who were beggars and we're incapable of taking care of ourselves, and then David comes along and he puts him in front of the king's house, or at the king's table. But I want you to look at 10:1. "And it came to pass after this," after he blesses Mephibosheth, "that the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanun, his son, reigned in his stead." Notice verse 2. "Then said David, 'I will show him kindness unto Hanun, the son of Nahash.'" The same thing he said about Mephibosheth, he says about here, he says about Hanun. But if you know the story, what happens is his ambassadors come down and they want to be a blessing to Hanun. And what do? They shave their beards off. They do some not nice things to them. It says it in the scripture. We won't even get into it. And so David, he's trying to show kindness to this ruler in Syria, and what he does is he goes down to bless him, and they curse his people. And so you know the story. David sets up his armies and he goes against them. And it's amazing that, you know, Paul says, "Be not weary in well doing," right? Well, David is trying to do well doing. And obviously David gets weary in well-doing. You ever done that? You ever done something nice for somebody and they turn around and they bite you? That's what David's doing here. He said, "Well, it worked with Mephibosheth. Let me try to bless this man over here." And when he goes to bless him, he gets a curse in return. And so right away you see David, he's got the wrong spirit. How do you know that? Well, if you go to Psalm 51:10, you don't have to turn there. The sin with Bathsheba is what Psalm 51 is all about. And he said, "Lord, renew in me a right spirit." So he's got a wrong spirit from somewhere. And if you look at these passages here, David was weary in well-doing. See, one of the tactics, the wiles of the devil, is to wear out the saints. See, you can get tired and you can in the last days, you're going to be tempted to quit.
Right.
And you're going to get tempted to be weary and well-doing and just throw in the towel and say, you know what, forget it. I was nice to those people and they cursed me. And you can see what the wrong spirit does. See, the wrong spirit destroys.
That's
right. See, but the right spirit edifies.
Amen.
If you go back all the way to 1 Samuel 22, when David is in the cave of Adullam, and those men, his mighty men, come down there and they minister to him. Now notice the contrast. Over there in 1 Samuel 22, David is in a cave. He's in despair, but yet he's got the right spirit. And he's able to bless those men and edify those men. One of those men is Uriah the Hittite. But now he's in the king's palace, and he's got the wrong spirit. And he destroys one of his sheep. So having the right spirit makes all the difference. When you come into church with the wrong spirit, it can make all the difference between what comes out of this pulpit. If you come in with the right spirit, the same could be said. People will be edified. The Lord Jesus Christ is glorified and lifted up. But if you come in here with the wrong spirit, what's going to happen? People are going to get destroyed. Amen? So you look at the passage. We want to look at some things here. He's weary. He's worn out. He's got the wrong spirit. But what led to David's sin? It's real simple. He just let some things slip. Hebrews 1:1. He says, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. And Hebrews 2:1 starts out, he said, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. See, you're in the last days. See, and if you don't give heed to the things that you've heard from Jesus Christ himself, you let those things slip, you're going to be in the same condition David's in. Don't think that you're a better man than David. Greatest king Israel ever had. So don't think that you're, oh, I'm not. That's not me. I'm above reproach. No, you're a fool. You're a fool if you don't think. And if you get that wrong spirit, it will happen to you. If you let some things slip, it'll happen to you just the same. He says in Acts 20:28, he says, therefore we ought, or he says, get, we ought to give the more, or he says there, I'm sorry, I'm quoting Hebrews. He says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. But I want you to notice the first part of Acts 20:28. He says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. See, if you don't take heed to yourself first, if you don't apply the scripture to you first, if it's always just about them over there and that person over there and so on and so forth. Brother John preached on some of that stuff on Sunday night. If you don't apply that thing to yourself first, you're going to fall susceptible.
Amen.
See, and Paul is exhorting those at Ephesus over there in Acts 20, and they are pastors and elders there. And he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock to feed the church of God. So they're shepherds. See, David, before he was a soldier, he was a shepherd. He was a servant. See, he forgot that. See, he forgot that he was there to feed the sheep. And oftentimes you can get that way. You can get so embattled in being a soldier that you forget that first you've got to be a servant and a shepherd and to feed the sheep, not fleece the sheep, which is what David does. So take heed therefore unto yourselves. When I was, 20-something years ago now, it was actually during 9/11. I was at a school out in Camp Pendleton. It was infantry squad leaders course, and we were there, and every day they would rotate who the squad leader was, and it was my day to be the squad leader, and we had a live fire maneuver course, and when you get done with the live fire maneuver range, you have to police up your brass, and you got to make sure that all your guys don't have any live ammunition or ordnance on them because you can't take it back to the barracks. And so after I got done checking all my guys, I'm standing there, and Staff Sergeant Coughlin, who's not a very nice individual, never had anything good to say to you. If you could picture him, he had a flat top haircut and a Hitler mustache, and he's just pretty much ran off of Copenhagen in anger. And I appreciate him very much. He was hard as woodpecker lips, but he, I got done, and he's standing there watching me, and he says, what's that in your cargo pocket? And I said, I looked down, and there's a big old signal flare hanging out of my cargo pocket. He said, now what would you do if one of your Marines did that? See, I wasn't taking heed to myself. I was busy looking at everybody else and inspecting them, and I wasn't looking down at the big old signal flare hanging out of my pocket. Just like the beam that's in your eye. You got to take heed to yourself, lest you let some things slip. So what happens is he begins to slip, and then he slides. See, it says in Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart shall be consumed with all of his own ways. See, when you start to let things slip, you get soft on sin. And you say, well, that didn't apply to me. Then you begin to slide, just like David. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You're a fool to despise wisdom and instruction, which is chastening. Hebrews chapter 12. So if you despise those things, you're gonna find yourself in the same place that David is. See, David's the same one that said, I will put no wicked thing before mine eyes. Psalm 101 verse 3. Yet here he is, looking at a naked woman on top of the rooftop. And he's the one who wrote Scripture. You don't think it'd happen to you? You don't think that maybe this thing here can be a little dangerous? I mean, I know that's a simple illustration, but don't think just because you know some Bible that you're not susceptible. David wrote it. Wrote Scripture. So he begins to slip, but begins to slide. And then he's seduced. 1 Timothy 4:1, you're going to be amazed at some of the stuff that Paul writes to Timothy in 1 and 2 Timothy, how it applies to the last days. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, that's where you're at, some shall what? Depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, and having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Notice that. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So no longer is David giving heed to the things he's heard. Now he's giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. How to get there? Just let some things slip. Just let some things that used to be convictions now become conveniences. Things that you used to never do, now you just kind of dabble in just a little bit. That's what you're seeing in the last days. That's what Paul warns Timothy about. Yeah. Right? Now there, he says, know therefore that in the last days perilous times shall come. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, proud, boasters, blasphemers. We know the list. That's written to the church. That's what you've seen in the last days. How to get there? Let some things slip. You slide. Next thing you know, you're seduced. You gave heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, something you never thought you'd do. How's it start? Starts with sin. Starts with the wrong spirit. And now you give heed to a seducing spirit. Slip, slide, seduced. It's real simple. Next thing you know, you've got a seared conscience. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen overnight. It happens subtly. Because Satan is more subtle than any beast of the field. You don't think he's been watching you and studying you and knows everything about you and what buttons to push, what things to put in front of your face. Sure he does. Amen. He's walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Amen. See, the David, being a soldier that he is, forgot that just because you push through the objective, you've always got to be ready for a counterattack. Right. Yeah. He's going to attack again. Yeah. Yeah. Amalek doesn't give up. No. Just because you won one fight doesn't mean he's going to give up. He's going to be at war with him the rest for all generations. That's what the Lord said in Exodus 17, Amalek. So David's not ready for the counterattack. He slips, he slides, he's seduced. He's got a seared conscience now. How do you know that? Well, look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's just go over there. Second Timothy chapter 3, I want you to look at verse 4. Notice how it starts. It says, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. There's not a more treacherous thing that you could probably do than other than selling out the Lord Jesus Christ himself, as Judas Iscariot did, than taking another man's wife. He said, who did that, David? Heading, high-minded. What's that? Do a lot of Bible. Right? Knowledge is not going to cut it. See, I'm sure that David could probably rightly divide the word of truth. Sure he could. He wrote about the first and second advent in the book of Psalms. See, but just because you can rightly divide doesn't mean you're right with God. See, you got to have the right spirit. If you're not right with God, I don't care how much Bible you know. Amen. You have to keep that thing in check. Oh, you say, I'm a Bible believer. Are you a Bible doer? I don't care how much Bible you know. Jesus Christ doesn't care how much you know. He cares how much you do.
That's exactly right.
So David, slip, slide, seduce, seared conscience. Then he begins to substitute sound doctrine for sensual pleasure. It says lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You know the passage in 2 Timothy chapter 4, but he said it 1,000 times. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. I just said it before I preached. Right? He said, for the time will come when they will what? Will not endure sound doctrine, but are after their own lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And notice he says, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, be given unto fables. Look back at 2 Samuel chapter 11. Look at it. He sees a woman, lust of the eyes, right? Just like Eve had a problem in the garden. Sees something, it's good for food. Lust of flesh, right? Look at verse 3. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Notice how it says in verse 4, and David sent messenger. He doesn't even answer. He turns away his ear from the truth. He doesn't even give it an answer. Why? He's got a seared conscience. How'd he get there? Slip, slide, seduce, seared conscience. How do you get there? Same way. Just play with sin a little bit. Right? So you've got David. He's drawn away after his own lust. Notice it says in 2 Timothy 4, after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having it. They don't want preaching anymore. See, everybody loves teaching. Oh, get your head filled up with a bunch of knowledge. And I do it every Sunday. Man, here's all these references and so on and so forth, and that's all well and good. But listen, if it never sinks down in your heart, it's not going to do you any good. Amen? You need preaching. Because preaching pricks the heart. Preaching is the reason that Jesus Christ was crucified. Because he preached. Stephen got stoned because he preached. You need preaching. But people don't like preaching. Why? Because now we're dealing with your heart. David's problem, what was it? He had a heart problem, he had a sin problem. He had a wrong spirit. You ever been there? You come to church with the wrong spirit? Can't get nothing out of the Word of God. Next thing you know, you start slipping and sliding, looking at things you never thought you'd look at. Watching things on the television. And then next thing you know, it says, notice it says, and David sent messengers. Lord showed me this point before. You know, there's a little app on your that's connected with Facebook called Messenger, where you direct message somebody. I wonder how many people in here might direct message somebody who's not their husband or their wife. Who stopped listening, who turned their ears from the truth, stopped listening to the preaching of the Word of God a long time ago, and say, well, nobody sees me. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in flesh, he knows every thought that comes into your mind. Ezekiel 11:5. So he knows everything about you, what you're going to do, what you're going to look at. Don't think you're going to hide from God. Be sure your sin will find you out. Amen? And so you see that here. It says, and one said, he turns away his ear from the truth. It's like that guard dog. Right? He's out there barking. He won't shut up. So you go out there at 3 a.m, you shoot that guard dog. You get up in the morning, all your cars, your tools, everything's gone. You say, what happened? Well, the dog was trying to warn you. It's your conscience. Say, don't do that. Don't go there. Hey. Turn away. Turn away from that. Shut up. Okay, it's not that you're not saved, but you're certainly not walking in the light as he is in the light. You're walking in darkness. You're spiritually blind. You can't see the things that he's trying to awaken you to your condition, yet you won't listen. You're dull of hearing. That's what you're seeing in the last days. Amen. See, all these, it's not to pick on every church around you. Listen, we got our own problems. Right. But you want to understand and know the evolution of how in the world did we get to so-called Christianity with screens on the wall and hooping and hollering and jumping around and so on. It's all sensual pleasure.
Yeah, right.
There's no sound doctrine.
Wow.
They don't know enough doctrine to fill up a thimble. You think doctrine is important?
No.
You better believe it's important.
Yes, sir.
It's the difference between heaven and hell.
Right, right.
Doctrine's very important.
Amen.
But everybody else has turned away their ears from the truth. Why? Because they want sensual pleasure. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Didn't say they love God. They just love something more than God.
Yeah.
How about you?
That's good.
What do you love more than God? I guarantee you it's self. You're going to do what you want to do. David did what he wanted to do because he thought, well, it's a presumptuous sin to think, and he talks about that in Psalm 19.
Yeah.
It's a presumptuous sin to think, well, God will just forgive me. That's what you do every time you sin.
Yeah.
You make that decision, don't you? You say, well, you know, I'm saved. 1 John 1:9 it. Isn't that right, Brother John? Just 1 John 1:9 it. Okay. Well, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what?
Death.
And David, when that lust conceived, brought forth sin, and sin when it was finished, it is finished, brought forth death.
Yeah.
That little child died.
Yeah.
And I'll just say this, and I've covered this in Sunday school, but John 19:30, and in James 1:15, when it says it is finished,
yeah,
that's the only two times in the Bible that phrase shows up. John 19:30 and James 1:15. And sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Jesus Christ became sin for us who knew no sin. He said it is finished. He finished the work that the Father sent him to do on the cross of Calvary.
That's right.
Thank God he became sin for us. But listen, David, he was enticed. He's drawn away after his own lust, like we all are. And he went over there and he sinned. And he thought he'd never get caught. And he killed one of his sheep. David, the greatest king Israel ever had. How'd it happen? Slip, slide, seduced. Seared conscience, substitute. What are you left with? Sorrow. That's what he had. Nothing but sorrow. That's why Psalm 51 is all about this incident right here. Amen? Well, thank God that the story doesn't end here. Amen? So he's left with sorrow. But look over in 2 Samuel chapter 12. Look at 12:7. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. Look at verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. See, when the sword of the Spirit came out, David surrendered. He yielded to the Spirit.
Good.
See, if you try to cover your sin,
yeah,
it's not going to work out so good for you.
Yeah, right.
Saul tried too many times, and that kingdom was taken away from Saul. What was the difference? When the preaching came to David, he said, you got me. I've sinned. Just like I said the other day about Moses, failure was not final. You may have messed up. Okay, what do? You get right.
Yeah.
You mess up, you fess up. When the preaching of the Word of God goes out and it nails you right between the eyes, you say, you got me, Lord.
That's right.
All have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Yeah.
We say that we have no sin, what? We make God a liar. We deceive ourselves. Notice it says in 2 Timothy 3:13, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, what? Deceiving and being deceived. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, we went back to it, right? Having their conscience seared with a hot iron, speaking lies and hypocrisy, they're deceiving themselves, saying, oh, I don't have any sin. You know what hyper-dispensationalists tell you? You don't have to repent. How'd they get there? Just like David. Failure's not final, though. When that preaching goes out, you better submit, you better surrender. When the sword of the Spirit comes out, you better say, that's me. Altar's open. Get right with God. One last illustration. How do you stay faithful in the last days? I was on a hump down there in Cuba. We were down there, and it was pretty hot, and it was about, I think it was about a 12 or 15 mile hump, but my platoon commander wanted to go super heavy and like 100 pound packs, and it was real nice of him. But he was a Naval Academy guy, and I was on one side of the column, and my buddy Tony Cece was behind him on the right side, and I remember him talking to him and saying, "Sir, how far can you hump?" And he said, "Just one more step." How are you going to stay faithful in the last days? Just one more step. See, there's a lot of people that fall out by the way when you're humping, hiking, many times, but it's the ones that get back up and finish the race. See, you're going to stumble, you're going to fall, but are you going to get back up? How far can you hump? Just one more step. How are you going to finish this race? One more step. David finished strong. Gave the pattern of the tabernacle or the temple to his son Solomon. Passed something down to his son. You going to be able to say that, or are you going to quit like Demas? How do you think Demas got where he got? Let some things slip. That's all you have to do in your Christian life. Just start letting some things slip. Next thing you know, you'll be out of church. You stop reading your Bible. You stop praying. People will forget that you're even a Christian. So don't let some things slip. How far can you go? Just one more step. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just do thank you, Lord, for this message. Thank you for liberty in the house tonight, Lord. Pray for our pastor and his wife, Lord. Just pray that you'd continue to heal them. Be with them, Lord. Strengthen them. Pray for anybody under the sound of my voice tonight, Lord, that something pricked their heart tonight. I pray that they'd get right, get it under the blood, and we don't need to know what it's about. Everybody's got something. And Father, I just pray that that they'd listen to you. They'd listen to the preaching, Lord. I know that it was for somebody because I had good liberty. And if I've got liberty, that means that you had it for somebody for a reason. And so, Father, I just pray for them. I pray that you'd bless them, help them get right with you, and that they could be a blessing to others. And Father, I just do thank you. And Lord Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. We want to, Sister Angie, we want to play a song of invitation. Is she in here? I can't. Yes. Give you an opportunity to pray or do business with the Lord.